Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
All right, Steve Versnick, I'm watching the Tampa Bay Lightning against the Chicago Blackhawks. They're down 1-0, and then I turned my head. I think I might have coughed, and I turned around, and they had scored 3 goals in 32 seconds. What the hell happened?
Well, if you didn't see the game and you're thinking of catching the replay on Bally Sports or through your ESPN Plus subscription, just skip the first period because there was nothing good. There was a couple of Vasilevsky saves, and we'll get to him in a second. But the Lightning came out flat-footed, sleepwalking, however you want to describe it, they were awful in the first period. And I think every Lightning player would tell you that. We've seen a lot of slow starts lately. It's been a big story around this team. And for instance, Pittsburgh on Thursday night got off to a really slow start. That was about Pittsburgh taking it to the Lightning. I think Brian Engblom described it best. He goes, if Pittsburgh's skating at a 10 out of 10, the Lightning were about a 6 out of 10. I mean, Pittsburgh just took it and tried to shove it right down the Lightning's throat. Sunday night was more about the Lightning were just awful. Chicago wasn't playing that great. It was just the Lightning were passes and skating and decision-making was just... It's something you don't see the Lightning do very often, to play that poorly for a period. I thought Thursday night, I thought that was more about Pittsburgh just taking it to them, and then they kind of upped their game throughout the game, and they lost, but they played better as you got the second period and such. On Sunday night, they played awful in the first period, and as John Cooper said in the post game, and as you know, we all had a little talk in between, and I'm sure there was some yelling. I'm sure there was some players challenged, and you know, it was kind of wake up. And I'm sure, you know, and look, every one of them knew it. It's not like they didn't, but and they came out and played a lot better in the second and third period. And if it wasn't for Andrei Vasilevsky, that game was a blowout early and a blowout in the middle of the game. John Cooper said, because not often someone gives up 3 goals in a game, and yet it was one of the most remarkable goalie performances you've seen in a long time. And that's what it was. A stop on Patrick Kane, couldn't believe he didn't score that one. There was one on, DeBrinket, I think it was, that hit the knob of a... He had the whole net was wide open, or at least 3/4 of it. And Vazzy got the handle of the stick on it somehow. Just incredible saves by Andrei Vasilevsky on Sunday night.
Vasi had the save on Kane was comical in the sense that I've never seen a player be more sure that it actually was in the back of the net until somebody he skated behind the net and he's waiting to raise it. He actually raised his hands and he's looking for the light. There's no light. There's no goal. And he is so dumbfounded that that didn't go in that he's staring at the scoreboard in utter disbelief, like, oh, come on, that's in, right? It was this surreal moment for him. And Patrick Kane, you know, he scored a few goals, right, in his career.
He's tremendous.
Over 400. Yeah. I mean, like, he knows when he scores, right? It's not like he has to look up and check the referee. He was robbed so incredibly bad that it was funny just to watch the reaction, and that's what Vasi did all night. I mean, he was so on his game, and you're right. Normally you don't say, hey, the guy gave up 3, but how many did he save, and how many did he save in the first period to keep them in that? They are so explosive when they want to be, and I don't know how good the Blackhawks are. I don't think this is necessarily their year. But Marc-Andre Fleury is not a bad goaltender, right? He's won the Vezina a couple of years ago. And there was a moment in that 3-goal flurry, Marc-Andre flurry of goals, that in 32 seconds, I was convinced he was skating off the ice, even if nobody was coming in to take him. He slams his stick against the post, and he takes like three steps or three glides towards the bench, and I thought, oh, my God, he's leaving the game on his own accord. He didn't know what to do. He was like, I can't. There's nothing I can do. I can't stop this, right? And of course, Chicago left them hanging out to dry. But I have not seen that kind of an explosion of goals in some time. They absolutely just took it to him at that point. And you're right. It was funny because Brian Imblong, who does the the TV color, and he said after the first period it was so bad. He goes, well, all I can say is there's probably some paint peeling in that locker room right now with John Cooper. And you know what? Wouldn't you love to hear what he had to say? Because it maybe he didn't say anything. Maybe it was the players, right? Who knows?
Well, I was producing the radio broadcast because of the Canada part of this trip, the TV announcers and the radio announcers are not traveling this trip.
Right.
Just to Canada. And we found Boris Tkachuk test positive for COVID Friday night or Saturday. And so he's not on this trip now. No symptoms or anything, but just, the routine test, because you're going to Canada, you have to test. So the announcers aren't going. So I was in the studio with them and watching the game. And so normally, you see those interviews at the intermissions and you hear them on the radio. They happen as soon as they come off the ice. So they walk down the hallway and right there's a setup and they pop on headsets or Gabby Shirley's interviewing whoever. And so we had Jeff Halpern in the first intermission. Well, we didn't have him right away because it was everybody in the room. And there were some words first, and then Halpern came out about 5 minutes later to do the interview. And that doesn't happen very often. I mean, normally it's,
somebody lays back.
The interviews are done, and television gets one, and radio, and sometimes, other entities get interviews and such. But they didn't happen right away this time. So you knew it was that paint was peeling.
Yeah. No, they definitely, and like I said, I don't know whether it was Cooper or just, the guys talking or leading or whatever. And they've had, I'm sitting here watching, it's like, wow, another slow start. Like, these guys have really struggled starting games, whether it's a good team, bad team. And you're right. They had it taken to them by the Penguins. There's no doubt about that.
And the Penguins are a very, very good team.
I mean, they had Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. I mean, they were both playing that night.
Mm-hmm.
So they were on it.
And they played about as well as you could play that game.
Yeah, and that's the typical, and I think this happens every time they play, but that was the absolute typical measuring stick game, right? Like Pittsburgh was like, watch this. We'll show you how good we are. We're gonna go up against the world champions, the two-time defending world champions, and we're going to show you we're right there. We can beat these guys, and they did. They played great. And not that the Lightning had their A game, because I don't think they did. It was another slow start, but it was more about Pittsburgh all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, this one, they're better than Chicago, and they're certainly better than they were in the first period. They were fortunate, like you said, that Vasilevsky kind of bailed them out. It was only 1-0, I think, after one. And it certainly could have been more than that. But they got their game together and they played really good. And, you saw guys like Kyle Foote score. I mean, it was
his first career multi-point night.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And, of course, what do you say about Victor Hedman with that slap shot, right? I mean.
No, that was a bomb.
Hardest shot in the league, and he used it, and he scored twice on the night. So it was a fun game to watch after the first period if you're a Lightning fan. It was not fun before that. They really turned it on.
The three goals in 32 seconds, a franchise record. The previous was 42 seconds back in 2008 against the Islanders. So,
I mean, that's incredibly rare, right? I mean, to see that many in that short of a time span is just unbelievably rare.
No, absolutely. Well, Corey Perry Chicago turns the puck over after the first goal, and Corey Perry steals it, puts it right back in the back of the net. And, it takes some puck luck like that to have that happen. So
right.
I remember a couple years ago, Braden Point scored three goals himself in like a minute 31.
Wow.
Now, a couple of them were power plays, and it expanded over an intermission. So it was like at the end of the second and end of the third period. But that was a natural hat trick by himself in like a minute and a half. But for the team to have three goals in 32 seconds is pretty rare. Obviously,
Well,
never happened in Lightning history.
They're playing well. I mean, they had won five. They lost to Pittsburgh. Now they've won two in a row. They beat Detroit. They're playing every other day. They just started this 10 road games in 11 days. Or 10 out of the next 11 games, not 11 days, but 10 out of the next 11 games on the road. So they're off to a good start. And I think they're either tied or just behind Florida. I think they started the night 2 points behind Florida. I don't know if they played, but...
They're actually a point ahead of Florida now. So they've played the same number of games. They started a point back with a game in hand. So they've got 80 points. Florida's got 79. Both have played 55 games. So Carolina's still leading the conference, though, with 83 points.
Mm. Yeah, they're playing great. And Vasilevskiy now has never lost to Chicago. He's 12-0-1, I believe.
12-0-0 in 13 games. He came in relief in one game, but...
Ah, okay.
12-0-0 in 13 games against Chicago in his career.
Isn't that funny how, and I'm not saying that Chicago has been dominant of late, but I mean, isn't it funny how you can have a team's number like that?
I think the last time the Lightning lost to Chicago in regulation in the regular season was 09.
Goodness gracious.
If I read that right this morning.
That's crazy.
Now, obviously, they lost games in the Stanley Cup final in 2015, mm-hmm. which the Blackhawks mm-hmm. beat the Lightning, but.
Yeah. Did you see before the game, Tyler Johnson went into Lightning's room and he hugged up. He started going around the room and he hugged up Stamkos and Hedman and Braden Point. He goes around the room and then he gets to Brisebois and he hugs up Brisebois and he goes, "That was for the cameras." And then he hugs up Cooper. It was, I mean, he was joking, but it really wasn't, right? It was kind of funny, though, and the room just cracked up. But that guy, I mean, you talk about a lot of players, right? Like Tyler Johnson, man, was a big part of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
You could say the players that have left the Lightning as part of this core group, you know, and they've been able to keep the core together for the most part.
Yeah.
But either Tyler Johnson or Ben Bishop have been the two biggest to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for different reasons. I mean, Ben Bishop, Ben Bishop, you only got rid of because you had Andre Vasilevskiy behind him.
Yeah.
It wasn't because you didn't think Ben Bishop was a good player. And Tyler Johnson was salary cap reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would have loved to have kept Tyler Johnson. Part of that famed triplet line from back in 2015.
Absolutely.
That took him to the Stanley Cup final. Yeah. He's been up and down the lineup with the Lightning, but does it all. But, yeah, absolutely a fan favorite. He was the last Lightning player from last season to get his ring. So of all the players that have left, Barclay Goodrow and Yanni Gord and Luke Shen, Blake Coleman, all of them have already gotten their ring. So Tyler was the last one of the that championship team to get his ring. So,
Well, you can see the love in the room. I mean, he's a not just a fan favorite, but he was a teammate favorite, obviously. And he got robbed.
And I think next month when Chicago plays here on April 1st, I think you're going to see a huge ovation similar to what Yanni Gord got.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I mean, Yanni obviously was a fan favorite and a big part. Tyler, like you said, goes even deeper. And I think you're right. I think that ovation will match what Yanni got because all that guy did was play hard and play great and, give it everything he had all the time. So. He was beloved, and it'll be fun to see him back at Emily, see what kind of ovation he does get.
And it's good to see him skating. I mean, he had the same back surgery that Jack Eichel had.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Now playing for Vegas. So Tyler's only been back a couple games.
That's right.
So it's really good to see him skating and playing well. And as you said, he got robbed tonight too. So
he did. He did. He had some really good shots, and Vassy stopped him. And I'm sure it would have meant a lot to him to get a goal, but... Lightning win it, and it was a fun game to watch after the first period if you're a Lightning fan. But overall, off to a good start of the road trip. We'll see what they do next. Big stretch of road games coming up here. So,
want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Important part of the season. Of course, one of the reasons they're away is because the SEC basketball tournament is this weekend. It starts, I think, on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Wednesday, that's right. Wednesday runs through Sunday. I think the Gators play. They have a noon game this week on Thursday, I believe.
I hadn't looked at the schedule yet, but yeah.
Yeah, they play at noon, and so there'll be a lot of Gator fans there. And of course, they just lost their final regular season game. I'm down to cover that tournament. I think I will. We got some other things going on personally that may change that, but looking forward to doing a little hoops, little round ball. Where are all the other cliches I can come up with? I guess got to talk the language here. speaking of basketball, and I want to get to the Bucks here in a story I wrote about Kyle Trask, but I don't know what the phrase would be, but boo ESPN. So all day on Saturday, I'm checking my local listings, as they say in Reader's Digest, right? Remember that magazine? I'm checking my local listings and or TV Guide, I guess.
I was gonna say Reader's Digest didn't have the TV schedule.
Yeah, it's the wrong magazine. TV Guide, yes, very similar, but not really. I'm checking my listings, and it says that it's going to be Duke, North Carolina at Duke, the final game of Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, at Cameron. Last regular season game, I mean, Duke, Carolina, right? What's better than that? So I'm expecting, because there's going to be a bunch of pomp and circumstance, right? As many players as he's ever coached that could be there, and there was, I think, like 80-something, all his former players were in attendance. They're all wearing these certain kind of like vest, jackets, whatever the hell they were. It's Coach K's. Some of the tickets I heard were going for over $100,000. If you can believe that, a basketball game. Jerry Seinfeld was there, for God's sakes. Adam Silver was there. Kyler Murray was there. Like, what? What? So it was a celebrity, you know, celebrity sort of attendance. And, of course, the Cameron crazies were out in full force and all of that. And so I flip on ESPN. It's a couple minutes before, let's say, 6, and the game starts at 6 or the ceremonies or whatever. And it's Texas and Kansas, and they're in a barn burner. And, of course, it went to overtime. But they weren't going to make it. So even while they're in the fourth quarter, they're, like, showing signs. Like, there's Mike Krzyzewski getting ready to come on. Like, oh, he's on the court now. Okay. And now the fans are applying. Like, you didn't ever get to see the Mike Krzyzewski pregame, like, hoopla. Like, you missed all of it because they were wedded to this Texas-Kansas game, which was a good game, but that's not what everybody was tuning in to see. And then finally they switched over to ESPN2, and they bumped some game that didn't mean anything, and you saw at least the tip-off of the game. ESPN completely whiffed on this. And then, of course, they had a big, long post-game celebration. Oh, by the way, hey, memo to the Duke Blue Devils, even though you won the ACC regular season, I get all that. But when you're sending out a coach that's been there for 42 years, okay, and you're playing North Carolina, you damn sure need to win that game, man. I mean, they were beaten and beaten soundly.
You may have just saved North Carolina's season as well.
Yes.
That may have put them in the tournament.
Absolutely, and you may have to see them again real soon. And that was not a good outcome. So too much pressure on those guys, whatever you want to call it. I thought it was interesting. You know, they had this ceremony set up, and Mike Krzyzewski was supposed to speak last, and his family was there, and his grandkids and all that. But he immediately grabbed the mic after the game. You could see how pissed he was that they got beat. I mean, it wasn't even funny. And he grabbed the mic, and he goes, "This was not part of the program. I just want to say this was unacceptable tonight. What we just did was unacceptable. The season was not unacceptable. But this game was," and then he sat down and, you know, let everybody laud him for the next 30 minutes. But he coached as hard as he could. And I thought it was funny that people would pay money, a lot of money, to watch a guy coach. Right? When do you ever think of that? Like, you know what? Dean Smith's coaching tonight. I'm going to go see him coach. That just never happens. You know he's there. You know it's the last game and all that. But it was a big win for North Carolina, to say the least. And but Duke is certainly going to be the highest seed in the ACC, and they won the tournament, and hopefully they calm down. But I would not put it past them to try to go for the 6th national championship. He's already won 5, and what a career. But, and he had the comment that I would have had that I predicted he would have, which was, I can't believe it went so fast. Like, I can't believe it's over. I mean, that had to be the feeling, was like, wow, this was my last game. Like, I can't believe that, you know, 42 years have gone by. 42 years. And it does go by fast. And, you know, that's it for him and his wife and you know, the Krzyzewski family. And they're going to be around and all of that. But he won't be coaching in Cameron Indoor anymore, which is really interesting. And when he took it over, there were some bumpy times where, you know, he came from Army where he had a losing record and didn't win right away. And there was a thought that he would get fired, but they signed him to a contract extension. And then the rest, as they say, is history, and what history he made. So that was fun as well. Okay, so I wanted to talk. We've been doing this series of, you know, the Bucks and their quarterback situation. I just wanted to go through here briefly a little bit about the story I wrote in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com. About Kyle Trask. And, you know, I think most people sort of look at Trask and they go, well, you know, yeah, took a flyer on him last year, red shirt season, never saw him, really any shirt season. They didn't give him a shirt. He never dressed on a game day, 17 regular season games, 2 postseason games, never got a helmet, right? His whole, it was, you know, you're over here on the practice field, you're gonna get better. And that it's exactly what he did at Manville High in Texas when he backed up De'Aaron King. It's very similar to what he did at the University of Florida when it took an injury to Felipe Franks for him to eventually get the starting job there. And that's what they had in mind when they drafted him in the final pick of the second round a year ago, or 2 years ago now. A year ago. That's right. It would have been a year ago because he played one season. They told him, look, you know, just get ready. Soak up everything you can from Tom Brady and Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin, and your time will come. And when it does, we want you to be prepared. We want you to rip it. And, you know, up there at the Indianapolis, the Combine, NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, we talked to Jason Light, we talked to Bruce Arians, and they were all in agreement that, you know what, we're not looking past Kyle Trask. I think there's this assumption that, well, he was a nice little pick at the end of the second round, and he's not ready, and we need to find a big-time quarterback because we got a Super Bowl team. And there's not many big-time quarterbacks available. It appears more and more likely every day Russell Wilson's going to stay in Seattle. If Aaron Rodgers were to leave Green Bay, it's almost certainly for Denver, and I don't think he's going to leave Green Bay. I think he's going to sign an enormous contract. Pete Carroll shows no interest in trading Russell Wilson. I don't see if that's there. That leaves you with Deshaun Watson and the situation with the 22 civil suits and 10 criminal complaints and all of that. That's awfully messy. So what do you do? Like, literally, what do you do? Let's live in the real world. We've talked about Blaine Gabbert. We talked about how they got to re-sign him. He's a free agent as well. Not a guarantee, but, you know, at 32, he's been in the league a long time, been behind Brady for 3 years. People look at his record, and it's horrible. And yet, I think, you know, Gabbert will tell you, or anyone will tell you, he had 8 coordinators and 8 head coaches, or 9 coordinators and 8 head coaches in his first 8 seasons. That'll destroy anybody. So credit to Blaine Gabbert for hanging in there, even as a backup, when he could have folded his tent a long time ago. I mean, made plenty of money, all of that. And so, you know, the problem the Bucs have is I don't see, you know, Deshaun Watson, sure, they'd love him. Will the ownership sign off of him? I don't know. What's the ultimate compensation? They don't pick to the 27th. They want 3 number ones, a number 2, you know, all this stuff. Don't know that they get there. I think they can re-sign Gabbert, and I think they can let him compete with Trask. But I think people underestimate Trask and sort of what he did during his redshirt season, because I was there, and he came out before practice every day, half hour, 45 minutes, and just worked his craft. You know, worked on throws, worked on movement. He changed his body. He's lost weight. You know, he has a little more quick twitch the way he throws the ball. He's surprisingly athletic at times. Not that running is his deal, but if he needs to evade pressure, he can. And, you know, the worst place you can be as an NFL team sometimes is right in the middle, right? Like, we don't have the guy. Like, we drafted a guy, we kind of like him, but we don't know if he can do it. And yet, we also don't have a veteran that's so much better that we know he can win the job and take us to the Super Bowl. And so, you know, the guys they have are like Gabbert, going to be really old, still unproven, still unaccomplished, or a guy that probably should play now. At least if you play a younger quarterback and he falls on his face, you know, it's part of the learning process. It's part of him getting better. He can only learn so much on the sideline, and or he reveals himself as not a very good player, and then you know what you have. But the worst thing you can do is kind of be stuck in the middle, right, where, hey, I think Blaine Gabbert is better, and he's better right now, and therefore we're going to play him, and we're going to ride him as long as we can, all the while knowing that when Kyle Trask gets his chance or, you know, whatever, he is a better quarterback, and he's going to be a better quarterback. So the evaluation part is very big here, but it's really, you know, I mean, you could really argue that, you know, there's a reason why they drafted Trask. And the other thing is, what's his upside? You know, they believe that Trask is better than anybody in this year's draft. That includes Malik Willis from Liberty, Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh, Matt Corral from Ole Miss, Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati. I mean, those are, you know, maybe not sure can't miss type guys, but somebody in that group is going to play and play really well in the NFL for a long time. Somebody's going to be a starter. They think Trask is better. They say, you know, look, we addressed the quarterback situation last year. We drafted Kyle for a reason. He fits everything we want to do at the quarterback position. I like what I saw for a year. I'm not doubting the you know, drafting him as you know, an option of what we did. I think this, Steve, you tell me I'm wrong. Even though his arm isn't as strong, we talked to Matt Baker about this, but even though his arm isn't as strong, although we haven't seen him throw in live action for a while, I think that his upside is Mac Jones. I mean, Mac Jones went 15th overall. He could have been drafted earlier to New England. That's not that much further than, say, 32nd, right? But both of them win from the pocket. Jones won the starting job as a rookie over Cam Newton. He started the year 2-4, which isn't good, right? You can envision a Kyle Trask starting 2-4. But then he won 7 games in a row. And they tailed off at the end. They dropped 3 out of 4 in the regular season, and then they lost in the playoffs, and Jones wasn't very good. But he finished with 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. I think Trask could do that. I really do, with a good team around him.
If they can return much of the defense, then we know there's some free agent, you know, Carlton Davis. Will they use a tag on him?
Yep.
Will they be able to re-sign him? You know, is in Dominican Sue, Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah.
You know, if I mean, that's the one thing Mac Jones benefited from.
He had a great defense.
And he started 2-4, but then that defense really got going. Mm-hmm. And he played complementary football to the defense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if the Bucs can maintain a high level of defense, and you like to think they can, but we'll see how free agency and they've got to make a decision on the tag, and we're going to get to that in a second.
Yeah.
But if they can have a good defense, then I think he's got a shot to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that Mac Jones comparison might be where possibly his ceiling is this year.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Now you still got to go out and perform. You still have to go out and prove it.
Yeah. Win the job.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to know what your offensive weapons are for him too. Is Chris Godwin back? Is Rob Gronkowski back? Who's your running backs besides Keyshawn Vaughn? I mean, if we've documented, the offense could look a lot different next year, not just at the quarterback position, but all the way. I mean, you know, you got Mike Evans, but who else are you lining up with him? Who's behind you in the backfield? Who's your tight ends besides Cam Brate?
Yep.
Assuming Rob Gronkowski retires or goes elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think, you know, based on, look, if the Bucs are high on him, And they truly believe that he's the best quarterback in this year's draft, if he were to be in this year, then you have to kind of trust them and see, you know, if there's no better option behind door number two, which, as Bruce Arians has said, we're going to look behind door number two, just like they did 2 years ago. If there is no better option, then maybe it's time to go with him and see what he's got.
I mean, he had the redshirt year. You can start with Gabbert if you think he's more prepared and you want to ride that for a while and see, you know, if he's able to win. I think the NFC South is wide open. But this much I'm sure of. They're going to give Kyle Trask every chance to win the job. They know what Blaine Gabbert is. They think he's capable. But you do need to find out in what you have in Trask within the next 2 years. And what better year to do it than this year? Because I'm just not sure that you're going to be so much better with a guy like, you know, Gabbert or a, you know, or somebody that Teddy Bridgewater or some other veteran, you know, Mitch Trubisky, somebody they would bring in here. And I would really want to know about him. If your conviction is that you think he's better than every quarterback in this draft, okay, Malik Willis, all those guys, right? If you think he's better, then you know what? After a year of learning your offense, after a year of sitting next to Tom Brady, after a year of changing his body and becoming leaner and less heavy-footed, and he's got mobility, I think you can improve arm strength, but certainly throwing it with anticipation helps. If he's all that, then he should have a pretty good chance of winning the job. That you've done your work, and he's a good quarterback. And I watched him go toe-to-toe with Mac Jones in the SEC championship game. And he was every bit as good throwing to NFL receivers, you know, like Kyle Pitts and others. And now he's got all NFL receivers. So it'll be – I think people are underestimating him just a bit. And you, ideally, you'd like to have him have another year to kind of sit behind a veteran and all that stuff. But you know what? If he's ready, he's ready. And you got to give him that shot. And I just – I don't see Russell Wilson walking in here. I don't see Aaron Rodgers – you know, I'm not sure about Deshaun Watson and all of that. But Kyle Trask might be a guy that we're talking about the way we talked about Mac Jones three quarters through the way last season. And he petered off a little bit, but, you know, it wasn't Mac's fault. I mean, Mac played pretty well. So we'll see what they do. As far as franchise player tags, they're coming out. The deadline is Tuesday at 4 o'clock, so we could hear news today from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Here's what I think, as Peter King would say. I think they don't want to franchise Chris Godwin. Not that they don't love Chris Godwin, not that they want him to go somewhere else. None of that is true. They absolutely do. And I think they have every intention of signing him to a long-term deal. The problem is, if you franchise him for a second time, and of course, had he not been franchised, he would have got his $100 million, and who cares if he blows out his ACL. But if you franchise him a second time, you have to pay him 120% of his salary, which was a top five salary as receiver. It's north of $19 million, and you cannot amortize it. It is $19 million on the cap right now. And so for that reason, you know, and others, I kind of think that they're not going to franchise Chris Godwin. I think they're going to try to work on a long-term deal. He's coming off an ACL. How many bites of the apple will he get from other teams if he's out there? I think they're going to let him know that we're not franchising you a second time, because that would make him happier and feel better. And so I don't think he gets it in a weird way. I'm not saying it's not possible, because it is, but I don't think they want that $19 million, like, boom, on a player that may not be ready until, let's face it, end of September, right? Because he's probably still going to be rehabbing that ACL, even though Bruce Arians said he was about 45% recovered at that point. So who does that leave? That leaves, to me, Carlton Davis would be next. You know, cover corner, long guy, can travel with the best receiver on the other team. But the problem with Carlton, and maybe this leads to him being franchised, or maybe it doesn't, but he has missed too many games with injuries. He has come up with, you know, concussions and different ailments that has kept him off the field too much for an elite corner, for a franchise corner. He also doesn't catch the ball very well. I mean, he can lead the league in pass defense, but if he could catch, he'd have 10 interceptions a year, because that's how in position he is for so many balls. So this was told to me by the Bucs about a week ago. It's like, we may not use our franchise tag at all. And I was like, really? You got all these players and you're not... You know what? I don't think they're lying about that. I think there's a number of corners that can be had in this draft. I think there's a number of really good corners in free agency. And I don't know that they're wedded necessarily to Carlton Davis. Maybe they are. Maybe they're going to pay him whatever he's worth and be done with it. But it's going to be really interesting. I wish I had a better prediction. I think it's one of those two or neither. And that's, you know, that covers my bases, obviously. But
so way to go out on a limb there.
Yeah, I know. I know. I made a huge prediction.
Either Davis or Godwin or none. So the only thing you predicted is nobody else is getting the franchise tag.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying there is not a Jordan Whitehead about to get the franchise tag. There is not Aaron Stinney is not getting the franchise tag. I mean, that's really where I'm going to stand firmly on that Sequoia and go out on a branch.
Going to franchise Rob Gronkowski?
No. Although, yeah, no. I don't even know what the top 10 tight end makes, actually. I expect Rob, you know, the Rob Gronkowski thing is interesting because if you're the Bucs, and by the time you hear this podcast, it may have happened. If you're the Bucs, he would do you a huge favor to let you know, in at least in a week or so, before the start of the period, free agent signing period on March 14th. It would behoove him to let you know that, you know what, I'm out. Like, I'm not playing either. Or I'm playing. You can count on me. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. I have no clue. I mean, I've heard the reports. Buffalo's a special place. He almost signed there the last time after the first he won a Super Bowl with Brady.
Could it be he's just looking around to see, I mean, who the quarterback in Tampa Bay is?
Who's, yeah.
You know, absolutely. What this team's going to look like. What this team, you know, I mean, he can absolutely sit back and wait. He doesn't have to sign the first day of free agency.
Nope.
Because he could absolutely retire again, too. He doesn't have to sign anywhere.
That's correct.
Made he's a ton of money. He's been retired before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it would be easier the second time around because he's done it once before, and he has made a ton of money. I was told by his dad or somebody in the family that, you know, look, Rob does not live on his football money. I was like, wait, what? He's like, no, he makes enough off the field. He has not touched the money he's made in his football career, which is remarkable, but he's a really smart guy and has a lot of business interest. And, you know, God bless him if that's true, but I don't know what he's going to do. I would lean still, and I was told this by somebody who thinks they know Rob, but I would lean still pretty heavily towards retirement. I don't know that he's going to play without Tom Brady. And for that matter, he did it once. You know, he can retire again without much fuss, but it's one to watch for sure. So I wish we could talk some baseball before we got out of here, but well, frankly, there's no deal, so nothing's happening there, and we'll update you as events warrant. But right now, swing better and a miss. We got nothing for you there. The Tampa Bay Bucks will make a decision on their franchise player. Of course, that deadline is Tuesday at 4 o'clock, so check out TampaBay.com and the Tampa Bay Times for any updates on that. And I'm sure we'll have our popular mailbag segment later this week. The SEC basketball tournament, men's basketball, is in town at Amalie Arena. I believe that tournament starts on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. So
that is correct.
Lots going on. Florida lost their last game, but I think they're a 7 seed, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in there.
8 or 9. They're in the 8-9 game.
8 or 9?
I don't remember which seed they are. But
I know they play Thursday at noon. How correct. Do I know that? Because I'm actually going to cover the tournament, and I believe I have the late session. I was like, wait a minute. I wanted the after. Oh, it's Florida. So John Romano and Matt Baker will be bringing you that one, but not me. I'll cherry pick the rest of the games and try to figure out what I want to write.
So in other words, you're saying we're taping late Wednesday?
Well, yeah, now we are. You're right. I didn't even think about that unless we come up with a mailbag or something early on. But yeah, if we're going to go live, it'll be late because I got the night session.
We might be taping late Tuesday and Thursday too because I got lightning both nights. So.
Yeah, well, it's going to be late night with Sports Day Tampa Bay. So it is what it is. But we're happy to bring it to you. We're glad you listen. We're here every Monday through Friday, and we'll talk sports and talk Tampa Bay sports as we always do. So for Steve Ersnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.